Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. CJ's in the studio with me and connected via the web. We have the Scuba Radio Scuba Squad made up this week of Bubba Boy, Barry the Bugger, here, Casey the Tobacco Nut, and Pete from Scuba Board.
Hour 2, otherwise known as the Deuce.
Okay.
Scuba Radio, the Deuce.
All right, I like it. Not really. But we are number two.
Are we going to call me El Puche
now? Yeah, maybe. Maybe. All right, look, towards the end of hour one, we were talking a little bit about Nitrox. CJ was supposed to get his Nitrox certification.
I will one day.
It's going to happen. Maybe it'll happen.
It's a guess, man.
Maybe we'll, worst case, maybe we can get it done in Grenada when we go down there for Dive Fest.
Ooh, that'd
here
be cool.
In a couple weeks. So we'll see. But actually, while we were getting ready for hour two, Pete brought up something that there is a, I don't know if it's a campaign or a discussion on Scuba Board that's talking about whether or not there should be new limits on Nitrox diving or air diving or what? What were you saying exactly, Pete?
Well, the concept is deep air.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since I've been diving, you know, before the Nitrox craze, we used to do almost all our diving 200 feet or even sometimes deeper all on air. And narcosis comes in and starts really affecting you. So some people can't handle it that deep. And there's an agency out there right now who says that you shouldn't go below 100 feet, or actually it might even say 80 feet, on air or even nitrox, that you should start using helium at that point so you can think clearly and resolve problems with a clear head.
Hmm. Well, you know, that actually makes a little bit of sense there to me. Because,
which means
first
you're not below 100 feet.
Well, right. And I don't have much reason to go much deeper myself personally. But sometimes, you know, it might be a wreck down there you want to go explore. But, you know, on air after 100 feet or so, you're going to run into narcosis issues. And that's not good. So you could go to nitrox or doing enriched air diving. And that's a much better option. However, now
you have... That doesn't help narcosis, Greg.
Well, it doesn't help.
In fact, oxygen is more debilitating than nitrogen.
Well, once again, on nitrox, you do have a maximum operating depth. So you have a limitation that you can't go past.
Yes.
Well, it depends on the mix. So if you have.
There you go. It depends on the mix.
Well, 32 right might be about 110, 120, and 36 might be a little more, like 130, 140.
A little less.
Or 36 I flipped them, right?
Shallower.
Yeah. So,
36 okay is shallower.
Right. So you have those limitations of nitrox.
I can't breathe on pure oxygen below 18 feet.
Well, okay. Well, but why would you want to, I guess?
Because I do decompression diving, Greg.
Oh, right.
And decompression diving means I'm going to get on oxygen. And if I go deeper than 18 feet with pure oxygen, then I'm setting up myself to do the chicken dance.
Okay, that would be fun to see, I guess.
If you go down on pure oxygen, the oxygen is...
Poisonous.
Yeah.
Poisonous.
At depth, yeah. Under pressure, right. Can be.
Because it's not the oxygen that tells you to breathe, it's the carbon dioxide.
That's not why it's poisonous. It overwhelms your nervous system.
It flushes your system and stops signaling you to breathe.
Well, it more than that, it short circuits your entire nervous system.
Right.
And the chicken dance is actually you go into a
spasm kind of thing.
Spasm.
Yeah. Yeah, oxygen toxicity.
Which would be like me dancing at a wedding.
Right. Think of Elaine from Seinfeld. Yeah.
But you could, you know, if you wanted to get some of the good stuff out of nitrox, you don't have to go with a 32%. You can, if you have your own tanks, you could tell them to fill them to 30% or 28%, still higher than your regular ear, but lower than what your maximum depth would be limited to by the amount of oxygen.
This is true. And again, mm-hmm. when you're diving a rebreather, this is done automatically for you.
Yeah.
As the rebreather in you adjusts that. However, if you're going to be diving deep, think about taking a course on helium diving, on doing Trimix.
Where are you going to find places that will fill your tanks like that?
Let's go to thelollipopleague.com.
No, I don't think that's accurate.
Guild.
Dive shop up here in North Florida, in Cave area, I guarantee you has helium available, and you can get it here. Any technical dive shop, and there's lots of them throughout the state of Florida, lots of them throughout the world, have helium because, you know, there's people doing technical diving.
But helium is on an air fill. They just put the helium in as opposed to the nitrogen in the tank. Is that what it is? I'm not certified.
That is correct.
Right. So you just have
that is correct.
You get rid of the nitrogen altogether, and helium is replaced. And the other benefit or negative element is it might change your voice a little bit.
Yeah, but you won't hear it underwater. In nitrox class, you learned about EAD, equivalent air depth, where you figured that with this nitrogen, with this nitrox mixture, that you're actually at this depth, shallower depth, when you're really at a deeper depth. In Trimix, Heliox, helium diving, mm-hmm. you have what we call END, equivalent nitrogen depth, in which we figure out it's like EAD, except that you have helium in there. And you're figuring out how deep you really are by the gas you're having, not your actual depth.
Well, my wife figured me out by the gas that I have.
And it's bad.
Yeah. It's
would your tanks have to be, would they still be oxygen cleaned like nitrox tanks? You only put nitrox in there. And also, would you need a specialized computer for this?
Yes, you would need a specialized computer. If you do partial pressure blending, then both nitrox and helium tanks should be oxygen clean. Mm-hmm. If you're doing it from a bank or from a membrane system or a stick system, then no, your tanks do not have to be cleaned.
Hmm. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So are you're diving Trimix in your rebreather too, or no? You're not.
Yes, you could definitely dive, and it's cheaper because helium's expensive. It's gotten more so. And it's harder to get.
Yeah.
So a Trimix in your rebreather, you keep rebreathing that helium over and over again, rather than letting it escape into the atmosphere on open circuit.
This is no laughing matter.
But I'm
so basically the only thing that's going to escape is the CO2. No, that gets absorbed, right?
That's correct. And when you ascend, obviously Boyle's law tells you have to blow off bubbles, so you can lose some helium there. If you use your BC, you'll have to use some helium there. Whatever, you know, there's going to be some, you're going to use some helium on the dive, some diluent is mm-hmm. what it'd be called at that point.
And just so we're clear too, the helium won't necessarily make you laugh. It might make your buddy laugh if you start talking to him. Hey, how you doing, buddy? You know, but helium does not make you laugh, just like this show, Casey, just so we're clear.
So, it is not laughing gas.
Right. Yeah, you're mixing up your gases. Okay.
That's nitrous, not nitrox.
Okay.
Think, Greg, think.
I am. That's why I said this.
It's all a guess.
Where's the doc when we need him?
Dr. Doug Ebersol? Yeah, he would know all about this. He's so much into it.
Wisely steering clear.
Of course, as he should. But, you know, if you want to go down.
He's going to be laughing when he teaches you two morons.
Thank you.
Will be, because I'm going to be there. I want to see
that. I think he's going to look at that as the ultimate challenge. If he can teach us, he can teach anyone.
I think that was the.
We might have been put here to test him.
Yeah, he's going to get a Saint nomination when he does
The state of Florida Diving Association may give him a plaque.
Saint Pugnacious.
Now, Casey was, he was one of my dive instructors back in the day. Are you Nitrox certified or Trimix or any of that stuff, Casey?
No. I did get Nitrox certified. That's as far as I went for the instruction portion.
Right. I don't know if I buy into this whole $100 or 100-foot limit thing, though, for air. I think you don't have to get that extreme with it. You got to be aware that nitrogen narcosis might kick in at 100 feet. But
well, you have to remember all these limits came originally from what we were using, which was a version of the Navy dive tables.
Mm-hmm.
And it's since with more science and more education and everything, we've learned a lot more about how the human body uses the gasses and
some
how
people
it affects us to death.
Can tolerate it better than others. Like CJ can do like 10 tequila shots and still walk a straight line.
No problem.
Yeah.
Just, varies person to person, diver to diver. More coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo with a buddy or group. Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explore Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explore Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save the St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explore Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hi, my name is Alexa from South Wales.
Well, okay.
If you like going down like me, then here's the man to see. Greg the Dive Master on Scuba Radio. The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Every time I get high, you want to come by.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to getting down. I am Greg the Dive Master. CJ's in the studio with me, and then the Scuba Radio Scuba Squad is connected via the web. Barry the Bugger, Bubble Boy, Casey the Tobacco Nut, and Pete from Scuba Board. So we're talking about gas. What kind of gas do you prefer? Well, the gas that's in your tank and not coming out of your board shorts is the first thing that I think we need to clarify. But
you know what the worst gas is? The worst gas is trapped in your dry suit.
Have you ever had that happen?
There all day.
Pete, this might be an issue for you. I don't know. I guess it depends. Yeah, I never thought about that. I mean, your dry suit isn't connected to your breathing apparatus. I mean, as far as what you breathe, so If you were, say,
think about it. After you had that chili lunch,
right?
The first thing you had to do to take off the drive suit is pull that neck collar up over your head.
At that point, you become one fart smeller.
How about that? So is the tip here to avoid the Mexican buffet before a day of dry suit diving there, Pete, or what?
Well, it depends on your dry suit. My dry suit's equipped with a pee valve. So anything I drink too much, I can pee all the time. Okay, don't have to worry about getting my boots wet.
Okay.
But there's no poop valve. So I'm going to say don't.
Well, there's an easy way. There's an easy way. I don't know if you were ever taught this, to remember that rule.
What's that?
Say nada to the enchilada.
Okay. So, kind of like a little limerick kind of thing. Right. Okay. Well, there's that. But I guess if you are worried that you were a little gassy during your dive, maybe you don't want to take your dry suit off and, you know, around a bunch of
other
divers.
No thanks before you strap on your tanks.
No, that one doesn't make any sense.
See, surface narcosis, it goes on all the time. It's undocumented.
Hello.
We prove it week in and week out here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Where am I?
Yeah. All right. So, but this 100-foot limit, I'm not buying it. I'm not seeing the point.
Well, Greg, the point is that if you want to really remember your dive, then it's a good thing to be on helium. Because most people, you go down there, they experience a dive, they've had a wonderful time. Hey, getting a little drunk on narcosis is kind of fun anyway. But when you get up and really try to remember what you saw, well, hopefully you took a video, because you're probably not going to remember very much.
Well, I'll tell you, the one time I did get narked, I didn't like it at all, because it made me a little panicky. I was down in a hole. I just talked about it a few weeks ago when we were getting ready for our cavern course. And one of the reasons why I never got cavern or cave certified was because of this incident I had years ago, early on in my dive career, where this buddy I was going with when I was going through my dive master course, we went down into a spring, went past the sign. As a big dummy that I was, I didn't know any better. And I followed this moron a little deeper into the cave than we should have went. And we weren't certified.
Can I ask what spring?
Blue. The blue one.
Ah.
And so we went, it looked very inviting, as, you know, these things do. And I was too stupid to, you know, pay attention to all the signals that were going off, you know, around me, like, hey, Greg, you're not ready for this. You shouldn't do this. And I followed this bozo down there because he's like, come on, man, we can do it. And I kind of got, you know, like talked into it a little bit. And it was not a pleasant experience. And we got down about 110 feet. And all of a sudden, the visibility went to crap, as you would expect, and everything starts going dark. I'm like, oh, gosh, this is it.
You weren't doing the pull and glide.
I was not. I didn't even know what that was.
Or the rub and tug.
I had no training whatsoever. I should not have been doing that.
Grab and go.
Was that narcosis, or was it just your panicking?
Well, the next thing I remember is I looked down at my gauge, and I could just barely see my gauge, and I remember seeing, like, oh my gosh, I'm 2 minutes from deco. We're like at 113 feet or 14 feet. And I'm thinking, oh no, I'm almost into deco too. And I'm freaking out. And I'm thinking, what do I do? And I just got to the bottom of the spring, and I looked around, and I could see there was a little bit of light off in the distance. Like, all right, well, there's the entrance.
Don't go to the light, Greg.
Yes, I was going to the light one way or another, and I crawled, but I'm freaking out. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm almost in deco. I'm going to run out of air. This is how it's all going to end. And you know, your anxiety, and you're starting to panic a little bit. You know, I'm just trying to say, okay, calm yourself. Just go, go, go. And I'm trying to pull it together. And I crawl slowly along the floor and you know, crawl towards the light, and it starts coming, like, okay, I'm going to the right place. And as soon as I cross past 100 feet, all of a sudden it all cleared up. And I realized that, wait, I had like 25 minutes before deco. And when I thought about the dive profile, I was like, wait, there's no way I could have been even close to going into deco yet.
And I was narked.
I realized, like, oh, because it just immediately evaporated. You know, all the anxiety and everything just stopped. And it's like, all right, just, you're fine. Just get out of the air and you'll be
good. And that was less than 20 feet. It makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. It was like a light switch that flipped for
now,
me.
Now, Greg?
Yes.
Here's something that most people don't realize. You don't always feel narcosis.
Right. You narcosis don't. You just start talking to the fish.
Narcosis is the act of becoming dumb. You can't solve problems. That's the real problem with it. Not that you had a freaked out. You have what we call a dark narc. Okay.
Right. Exactly.
Where you started to get panicked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you felt it.
Yeah.
But more often than not, people don't feel the narcosis. Mm-hmm. They're just stupid. They don't know that they're stupid.
Well, it's like drunk. As getting drunk. Yeah. The martini
effect. As long as
effect.
The dive goes okay, they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do it 100 times. Well, I don't get narked. No. You got narked because you were below 80 feet. You started to get narked at least at 80 feet. And below, you get more and more narked. So realize you got narked. You just never felt it.
Right.
I don't feel me getting narked, but I know I'm narked because I look at my depth gauge and go, oh, yeah. I'm at X depth. I must be narked.
Mm-hmm.
When I did my deep dive course, I remember the instructor took down some of these puzzles, and we had to sit there and try to figure out the puzzles.
Right.
All the way down at depth and then surface to see if we could see things were, if we could see any differences in how well we figured things out. And I really did not notice any difference. So I think it affects every person differently.
It does
affect everybody differently. And I used to have a big one of those thumb open gate clips and a ring, and you'd hand them to people at 100 feet and they'd just sit there and stare at you, and you'd take them up to 70 feet and they'd clip the ring into the gate clip.
Oh, okay.
But you take them back down to 100 and they just stare at you. It affects everybody differently.
Absolutely. And that was my point. You know, for me that time I had a dark narc, like Pete said. But, you know, you talk to the dive god, Mr. Neil Watson, he says, you know, if the only time I feel normal now is when I'm below a couple hundred feet. But that's because, you know, he has the world record for deepest air dive and lived to tell about it. So that's a whole other thing. More coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, CJ in the studio, Scuba Radio, Scuba Squad, connected via the web, Casey the Tobacco Nut, Barry the Bugger, Bubble Boy, and Pete from Scuba Board rounding out that side of the crew.
What up, Niggles?
Oh, my God.
The niggles are a arthritic type of side effect that you get.
That didn't sound quite right from this end of the...
And none of us have that, by the way.
Might want to cut that out.
No. Not yet. It's a thing. It is a thing. Commercial divers have
to deal with. Boy, that came across really wrong.
Yeah, that was probably inappropriate.
Yeah, they'll agree with you in the hood.
CJ does. Just stop it, will you, please? My God. You know, the dive god never complained about that side effect.
Niggles?
You know, getting the niggles. You know, I don't know if he's familiar with the term or not, but, you know, he was deep diving on air before people knew better. You know, nitrogen narcosis was not much of a thing when he did the world record back in the 70s, but it's 437 feet on air.
Damn it, that's deep.
That still stands to this day, but the Guinness Book of World Records doesn't recognize it anymore because... like 8 people died trying to break his record. So they said, nope, we're taking this out. We don't want people doing this. And but to this day, Neil Watson's record still stands. But he describes that incident or that time when he did it. And he's told CJ and myself this story many times off the air as well as on the air. But when he went down and he had to go down to this line and grab this flag or something that was placed there at 437 feet to break the record. He says that, you know, his heartbeat slowed down and he had this near-death experience. He says he thinks he actually died. His heart stopped. And for whatever freak of nature, he was able to, you know, keep his composure enough to grab the flag and come back to the surface. But he says it was crazy. It was a near-death experience, right?
Yeah.
Something that he doesn't advise anyone else to do.
Because those other people met death.
Correct. They didn't have a near-death experience. They had a death experience. So he doesn't recommend anyone else following his
path. That's why we worship the dive god.
Yes.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Now, their new study shows that more Americans are killed when they're taking pictures with their dopey machines than are killed by sharks, Miller.
You know what's really dangerous, Billy? Sharks taking selfies. Now, I was in Manhattan around a month ago, and I saw a thresher shark over on 6th, right near, you know, that donut shop across from Fox.
Baby shark, do-do-do-do-do, baby shark, do-do-do-do-do, baby shark, do-do-do-do-do, baby shark. Mommy shark, do-do-do-do-do, mommy shark, do-do-do-do-do, mommy shark, do-do-do-do-do, mommy shark.
Daddy shark, do-do-do-do-do, daddy shark, do-do-do-do-do, daddy shark, do-do-do-do-do, daddy shark.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and we know you're doing the dance too, don't lie, as well as the entire Scuba Radio Scuba Squad. And just, you know, when you get that mental picture in your mind, you pretty much can't get it out. And we apologize.
Greg, that's the first I've heard the entire song.
Is it?
Well, it is. I've heard people referring to it, but that's the first I've ever really heard them sing it.
Well, I'm sorry. And that'll be because that is locked in your brain for now to eternity.
I'll be singing Greggy Shark do-do-do-do-do here in a moment.
All right. Well, I apologize. So
you got to hear the whole song.
Yeah, that's enough of it. Trust me. I mean, just
speaking of sharks.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the nurse shark a few weeks ago?
Is this a setup of a joke?
It does sound like
it does. Like,
well, it's kind of a joke.
What
this
happened?
Guy in the Bahamas, I believe it was in the Bahamas. I'm sorry, Cayman. He was in Grand Cayman.
Okay.
And they are having a lionfish derby.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had his little tube and he was shooting the lionfish, sticking his tube. And, of course, the tube was probably dragging behind him.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, a nurse shark bit him behind the knee and pulled off a bunch of skin and a little bit of flesh.
Was it the low knee or the high knee?
Golly.
I guess the shark wanted a bologna sandwich.
Yeah. Interesting.
But it actually did happen.
Oh, my God.
And I'm thinking that he probably didn't kill the lionfish completely before he put him in the tube, and it was still doing its little death dance.
Mm. Yeah, sending out that vibration that the sharks have a tendency to react to, which I think is the most intense signal to a shark. It's not, you know, blood in the water. It's not, fish carcass. It's that spasm that they make that they're still
the
trying
nigglies.
To hold on to. Yeah, lionfish niggles that they have and the last, you know, throes of life for the lionfish that freaks out those sharks and the eels for that matter. But that's unfortunate. But it goes with the territory.
It could have been worse. Well, it could have been a bull.
Exactly. Could have been a bull shark. That would have been much more. But you know what? Nurse sharks can do some pretty nasty stuff, too.
Not like a bull shark.
Well, not like a bull shark, right. But they, when they latch on, if they get on to you the right way, they won't let go. And
remember the guy at the Keys who kissed the nurse shark?
Yes. they get up close to it for a selfie or something, or I don't know what. I don't understand. He actually did try to kiss it. That's right. He was doing
a picture. He had a class. He was showing his dive club or whatever, his dive homies, that he could kiss a shark. He had it upside down. It's on YouTube. It's great.
Yeah.
He went to kiss it. The shark kissed back.
Yeah. Wouldn't let go. That's some serious serious tongue.
You
want to
kiss something? You could kiss my ass.
No, I don't think that's what happened. But regardless, it's unfortunate. But, you know, I hate hearing those stories and then, you know, having it turn into a negative thing on the shark because they're just doing what they're supposed to do.
Their sharks are vicious and should be killed.
Quiet, you.
Easy.
Yeah. Nice shot.
You know, I will tell you, though, so the lionfish derbies, that is one of the things you got to be on the lookout for, are sharks. But, you know, the eels are worse, if you ask me. But it depends on where you're at. You know,
or where you are.
Attack you?
I've had eels come out of the woodwork when I speared a lionfish. And oh, okay. I'd never seen anything like it.
Easy, Greg. Don't dive in the woodwork.
What is it called, Pete?
A reef. They don't have wood down there.
Oh, well, okay. All right.
They do if it's a ship.
Yeah. Anyway,
there's mermaids.
But the thing is, like when I was in St. Kitts, yeah, the eels were turned into, it was this amazing thing that all of a sudden I saw hundreds of eels come out of the reef free swimming after we speared a couple lionfish. And I was like, what the heck is going on? It just came alive. And man, they were aggressive. They wanted that fish. And I was like, don't get in the way of, don't get between the lionfish and the eels. It was really a strange situation.
Did they get your lionfish? Did you have to give it up?
No. What was weird about it, on top of that, is most of the eels were way too small to eat the lionfish, but that didn't keep them from trying. It was.
I don't know how they would even eat them with the spines and all that in the water.
I don't know. They just picked up on that signal that, hey, there's food in the water and we're going to go after it. And they said that this particular spot where we were diving, it was in St. Kitts, I believe. That the local fishermen did a lot of spear fishing, and that the eels were a little bit more aggressive there when you speared a fish. So they may not have realized it was a lionfish. Who knows? It didn't matter to them. They just heard the signal. It was like, hey, that's a dinner bell. Time to eat. And I was shocked at how many there were. But, you know, sharks are obviously, it's more important to pay attention to make sure if you're doing a lionfish derby or that kind of thing, that you know that they could be in the area. And if you do see any, you better keep an eye on them, because they will act a lot differently if you don't get that kill shot on the lionfish right out of the box. Which,
where is it? Where that is that kill shot? Because I have yet to hunt one.
Oh, really? I thought Barry the Bugger has never caught a lionfish.
Behind the
eyes.
Yeah, right. Behind the brain. Eyes. Okay. Yeah, you
right
get the
behind
brain,
the eyes.
The spinal column.
Yeah,
area,
but I'll tell you the truth. All the lionfish I've killed, I hit them with the paralyzer. I stuff them in the tube and I move on. I don't
paralyzer. What's a paralyzer?
Is that like the shocker?
That's the little three pronged.
Yeah.
On the Hawaiian spear.
Yeah, I have one of
three,
those.
Three
we call them frog giggers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Frog gigger. You call it the paralyzer. Is that a technical term or just something you made up?
No, it's called a paralyzer tip. Yeah.
Oh, it is.
It's called, we want to sell more, so we'll call it the paralyzer, because he wants to buy a frog tip for underwater.
Oh, yeah. I think the paralyzer was, wasn't that Hulk Hogan's finishing move?
It might have been. Might have been. That and the pile driver, as one was before the other. But, you know, the thing about
give me the paralyzer, brother.
Not only do you have a paralyzer spear gun or a Hawaiian sling that you're catching these lionfish with, you have the zookeeper, which is the most popular type of contraption to keep your lionfish in once you catch them. And I will tell you, one of the derbies that I just saw recently, I saw some pictures and some video of some guys who had one of these zookeepers. And this was the first one I'd ever seen that was clear. They actually had most of them are that white PVC pipe about, 5-6 inches in diameter, Pete, you think? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. It's made out of, you know, pipe that you
get at Home Depot or something. Yeah.
You know, septic tanks or whatever.
Right. Well, these guys had one that was actually clear. It wasn't white. And you could see all the lionfish in it, which is like, okay, that's kind of cool. You know how many lionfish you can actually look.
So do the sharks.
Exactly. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. This would not be ideal if a shark was in the area. Now, I don't think the sharks use visual cues as much as they use smell and vibration. And
because you'll find when they used to put buckets out with chum, the chum was still in the buckets.
Yeah.
It was what was dispersed into the water that caused the sharks to come
out. Right. But if
having the lionfish in a container is much better than putting them on a stringer.
Ooh.
Oh, no, I would not string them around.
Yeah. Well, that's hardcore spear fishermen that do that kind of stuff. I agree. But
with
what I'm saying,
fish?
Yeah, well, not with lionfish, but any spearfish. But what I'm saying in this particular instance, why would you want to have a clear zookeeper? I think you're just asking for more trouble.
Because you can, Greg.
Well, because you can, and you want to show off, maybe. But I didn't think that was the wisest thing when it came to the design of that contraption. Adding Greg, the extra element of being able to see that there is a lionfish that they can hone in on with smell and vibration as well, and then they could actually see that there's a lionfish there, I think you're just asking for the sharks to potentially come and start attacking.
What do you think, Greg? They swim up to the clear one and hold their fins on either side of their face so they can look through the plexiglass and
go, na-na-na-na-na-na, that kind of thing? I mean, the lionfish to the shark.
Well, didn't that lobster at Publix, they go, oh, I want that one.
No. Grandpa Shark had glasses on in that video.
Mm-hmm. So, your point is what? That he could see?
So, they may need glasses if they want to see him in this tube.
All right. So, you guys don't think it's a thing? You don't think it matters if it's clear or solid?
I think you're angry that you didn't come up with the idea.
Lionfish derbies are great, and I think it's a gateway drug to spearfishing, and I love them.
It's a gateway.
I think lionfish spearing and lobster hunting go hand in hand. And I stop right there. I have self-control. Scuba
Radio. Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the Top Down at Explore Ventures liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo with a buddy or group. Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explore Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explore Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save a St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explore Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Here comes old Greg. He's a scaly manfish.
He is Greg the Dive Master.
What you doing in my waters?
The show is a disaster.
I got something to show you.
He's Greg the Dive Master.
Hi there.
Master. Dive Master. Dive Master. Dive Master.
I'm old Greg. Pleased to meet you.
I'm Nart. Hello, fishies.
I think it was just below 100 feet. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. CJ's in the studio with me, and the Scuba Radio Scuba Squad is connected via the web. Pete from Scuba Board, Casey the Tobacco Nut, Bubble Boy, and Barry the Bugger rounding out the
here.
Barry was asking about a zookeeper. You have a lionfish Hawaiian sling, which is like, I don't know, about 3 feet long, line fish snare
short,
kind of thing.
Yeah, short little bear.
But you don't have a zookeeper, which is that PVC tube thing we're talking about. You don't have one of those.
No, I do not have one of those.
Yeah.
Do you, I have three of them. Slings. I keep winning them every time I go to the Derby.
You keep wanting to get one, you said, Casey?
No, I have three.
You have three zookeepers?
Yeah, every time I go to the Derby, I win another one.
No, there you go.
You win them?
Yeah.
I win them, yeah.
They are a popular prize.
I paid a dime for them. I have three of them.
Sell it to Barry.
One being clear, as a matter of fact.
Send one to Barry?
Sell it to Barry.
Sell it to Barry.
Maybe.
Hey, such a deal.
We can make a deal right now. How much you want for your zookeeper such there, Casey? You don't need two or buy three
I
of them.
I don't know.
You know you want one.
I think when you buy
I'm
one.
I'm going to figure out which one I don't like anymore.
Yeah, the zookeepers one. Cost like, I mean, they're like.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
Yeah, like $500
No, they're not
piece.
Cheap. Not cheap at all.
Yeah, $500,
I
right,
trade
Casey?
Out some diving time with you, old Barry.
Yeah, how about this? Why don't you just sell him one? I figure if he would have to, if he went out and bought one, it'd probably be like $500.
$500, $600. Yeah, okay. What'd I say? $700?
So I'd say.
I've got the internet here. I'm going to go to eBay.
No, don't do that. Just sell it to him for, say,
it'll knock you off the air. It'll knock you right off the air.
Yeah. He'll give you a.
Those
half,
are fake.
Okay. Yeah, they're not they're actually a very popular prize. At a lot of lionfish derbies is those zookeepers. It's a cool
device. You type
device.
In zookeeper and you get a movie.
Actually, all of mine came from Reef.
Well, there
they
you
gave
go.
Them away.
Yeah, they give them away at the lionfish derbies. They're usually one of the nice prizes. And you can get them for about, I don't know, $50 to $100, something like that. I don't think they're
something like
they're different sizes.
But you can make one, too, not to take away from the people that make the zookeeper. But they're not like, you know, a technical marvel as far as how they're put together. I mean, you know, it's a, you know, 6-inch
PVC. No, they're like 6-8-inch PVC with a screw-on lid, and then you cut the end out of the lid,
right,
and then you take a funnel, and you just slice the funnel so it spreads out when you stuff things through it.
That's how it is. So you create this one-way,
so
you know, opening.
Kind of like a sphincter.
You could look at it like that.
There's one called the Lionfish Dungeon.
If you've ever thought about shoving a lionfish up your sphincter, I mean.
Well, that would hurt. Probably leave a mark.
That'll leave a mark.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, you have.
Then the shark will really go after you.
You do have these type that can be expanded. They're expandable. So they'll have, like, some hard PVC, and then they'll have, like, a Kevlar type of bag that you can expand out once you start filling it up.
I have seen those.
Those are expandable.
Those are, the expandable ones are called the pink socks.
No, I don't think that's accurate either. Don't Google it either. That's going to be disturbing.
If your sphincter doesn't expand, it probably hurts even more.
Yeah, no, that's not correct either. You guys need to stay on track here. Thank God I'm here to keep things in
Barry,
order.
Barry, Google the Dirty Sanchez.
No, don't do that. So, you know, the thing.
Oh, Greg.
Would you want to make one, Casey? Or I mean, not Casey. Casey has three already. And no, Barry, do you actually want a zookeeper? I mean,
I'd like to try out the lionfish hunting. Yes, I would like to do it. Mm-hmm. And I missed out on it. What was it, like a month or so ago?
Yeah. Well, once again,
because I don't have a dive buddy here anymore. The guy I used to dive with.
Lionfish hunting,
dive
you
anymore.
Can kill them anytime, anywhere, that's anyhow. Right.
Well, they're a great addendum to lobster hunting. I believe.
Yeah, but then you're carrying, you know, I carry a tickle stick, a net, the bag for the lobster. Then I'd have to carry a zookeeper and the flag.
Wrong! You got to carry a bag for your lobster anyway. And there are actually lobster bags that will work for lionfish as well, like the one I use.
All you have to do with the lionfish is carry a pair of scissors and cut the fins off.
No, you don't even have to do that. You can still, I have a lobster hunting bag. From Armor Products, you can check it out. ArmorProducts.com, I believe, is the website, and it's it doubles as a lobster bag and lionfish bag because it's made out of this heavy duty like Kevlar type of material that the lionfish, points and the sticky things won't go through and puncture you.
Sticky things.
They won't go through.
There's not much they won't go through, Greg. I think I'd just cut the fins off.
Well, you can do that. That is one thing, but you don't have to, is my point. And you know, when you have to cut the fins off, it's slowing you down too. So if you're like on a mission to catch as many lionfish as you can, because a lot of times if you go to a very popular site of lionfish, you will see a bunch of them. And the trick is to get to them as fast as possible and get them in that zookeeper. That's the nice thing about the zookeeper. You stuff them in there, pull it out, your spear's ready to go for the next one. Pew, 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 pew. And you can knock out a bunch of them.
Sound effects included.
Yeah. It actually adds to the whole experience when you throw the sound effects in underwater. Trust me, I've done it. It's just something I do.
We should be recording this. It's not bad.
Well, okay. I think we are, in a way. We're putting it out there to the world. They might pick up a few of these little things and incorporate them into their diving life. And that's what we hope to do. Learn from our mistakes.
Zinc sock.
No. That's, once again, that's not how it works. But anyway, we'll wrap it up for this week. Till next time, remember, it is always better. Where, gang?
Down where it's better.
Safe diving, everyone. You know how to whale here. That's why it's hot. I'm not the one. Yeah, we get lucky.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They're not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.